Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore. I want to say just a big thank you to everyone who continues to tune in and listen to these episodes. I truly hope that you're able to bring what it is that you've learned today and back into your relationships. Please don't forget to leave a review and a 5-star rating. That always helps the show. But I'm so excited to hear from my guest today about the most alluring topic, which is sex. Who doesn't love to talk about sex? I know all of you love to hear about sex. So welcome, Dr. Tara. Thank you for being on today's show.
Hi, beautiful. Thank you for having me. You have such a beautiful energy.
Oh, thank you. I obviously love yours. Let me just introduce you a little bit more just so people can know more about your background. I would love to introduce her. She is a tenured professor who wrote a textbook on sexual communication. She's also a sex and relationship coach and the number one sex educator on TikTok with over 2 million followers. That's huge. And she's also featured on KTLA News, Cosmo, Women's Health, Refinery 29, and many, many more. Again, thank you for coming on the show. And I can't wait to talk about sex.
Oh, yeah. My favorite topic to talk about. Seriously.
I think everybody, like, I've done this just over a year and everybody is just tuned in to the sex topics, to the sex episodes. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we need to talk more about sex.
Exactly. Like, what's your favorite sushi and what's your favorite type of orgasm?
I love that. That's awesome. I love that you bring such a good, fun energy to it because, you know, there's a lot of seriousness around it, but there's so much fun. And I think there's such a taboo still to this day, which is so bizarre to me that you know, it's such an uncomfortable topic.
Yeah, I would say like sometimes when I go to dinner parties and I start talking about sex, that there's always, you know, a few people looking very uncomfortable.
You're like, it's not that big of a deal. It's fun. This is like a pleasure
talk. We all do it. Your parents did it. That's why you're here.
Exactly. So I'm just a little curious, what took you down the path of becoming a sex coach and relationship coach?
Yeah, that's such a good question because I always want to talk a little bit about where I come from.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Bangkok, Thailand. Have you been to Thailand?
Not yet. I'm excited
You'd
to
love
go.
It.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So I'm originally from Bangkok, Thailand. I grew up in a very, very sexually conservative environment. I went to an all-girls Catholic school, you know, taught by nuns.
Wow.
And yeah, at my school, your skirt has to cover your knees or else you get hit on the wrist. So immediately as a female, you would learn about all these things, you know, the values of like what it's like to be a quote unquote good woman, right? A modest woman from a very young age. So I had a lot of this like anxiety about the way I look, how I'm perceived, as well as my interest in sexuality in my teenage years. I've had a lot of anxiety about all of these things. I just thought it was normal. Which I do think it's a pretty universal experience now that I've talked to a lot of people from around the world. But yeah, fast forward to high school. I went to Finland for high school. And, you know, that was the very first time I saw naked people in groups because what they do in Finland is they get naked and they go into saunas together. And it's a very, very common thing there. And no one cared about other people's naked bodies. No one like stared at other people. And there's people of different ages. And they just kind of accept it. Like it's not a weird thing, right? So that was my first time being exposed to like nudity and acceptance for just nudity, as well as body neutrality, right? Which is now we know different from like body positivity. Like it's just, no one cared. They were just like, this is normal. And then fast forward to my more recent years, light bulb moments, I would say the reason why I'm in this field is triggered by a few things. The first thing was my academic and professional experience. So in graduate school, I studied relationships, but particularly communication. I studied relational and sexual communication. And I remember reading a paper that said the number one issue that everybody has at some point in their lives is a sex issue. Just at some point in your life, right? Yeah. So I was like, wow, if that's such a big problem, why isn't it solved? But like many problems in the world, it's hard to solve. So I just figured I want to be a part of the solution to such a big problem. So that was my like first trigger.
I love that.
Thank you. My second trigger was my personal experience. I was married when I was younger. And in that marriage, I was I didn't speak up. I would say I wasn't very communicative. I wasn't being myself. And a lot of times I would be very anxious and feeling like I'm missing something. You know, like seemingly happy on the outside, but feeling very empty on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I had to really work on myself to finally realize that I wasn't in the right marriage, that there's nothing wrong with me or him, that we weren't compatible from the first place, but I just couldn't accept it at first. I think many people are stuck in marriages that are not necessarily good for them. So at that point, I had, you know, gone through all of that experiences, many nights of crying, to the point where, and you know what, this is not the life I want to live. So I made the choice to leave and pursue everything that I've ever wanted independently. And, you know, fast forward to now, I am married, but we're in a monogamous marriage. And every single day, I talk about how important it is to live with your true desires. And I just love it. So thank you for having me here.
That's such a beautiful story. And I love that. You know, I love everybody's story. I think that's so great to see where you've come from, where you're at now, and you're living your true authentic self. And that's, I think, so huge and such a profound thing for people to understand that it's okay to be who you are, just, and it's okay to voice who you are. Yeah, I think that, like I said, I don't understand where sexual, I guess, shaming or uncomfortability comes from. I know a lot of it's religion, and I know a lot of that comes from childhood, but you get to the point where sex is happening, it's okay. How do you get to the point where it's okay to talk to, let's say, just a new partner? And, you know, when's the right time to say, you know what, I like XYZ, or maybe I don't even know, are you willing to explore XYZ? You know, it's such a...
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm a fan of let's be honest from the beginning. So if you're dating someone and you're about to have sex for the first time, mm-hmm. I think that's the perfect time to start talking about what you like when it comes to the sexual repertoire and in a sexy session. What do you prefer? Do you like to have the person go down on you? Do you want them to finger you? Do you want them to do dirty talk? Or do you find dirty talk a little icky? You know, I think it's a great, fun topic to talk about. I know that there's a lot of anxiety attached to it, but I think that's the main thing that I want to change in people. I want people to start seeing sex as fun and playful, mm-hmm. And it's okay to make mistakes too. And not like this anxiety ridden thing.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think you really showcase that on your social media account. I was just like, this is so genius because you really give these fun, lighthearted facts and things that we've probably all done or felt or some awkward moment. And you're just like, it's okay, whatever, you know, like move on. Or if you're curious, exactly. Just ask.
So exactly.
You know, I think what I'm really interested in too is you have a sexual profile, right? So could you explain to everyone listening here what Dr. Tara's sexual profile is?
Yes, I'm so excited to talk about this because this derives from my years of professional experience and also being a quantitative research professor. I like measuring things, right? So this questionnaire that I created really helped measure who you are as a sexual being. And Dr. Tara's sexual profile look at four different aspects of someone's sexuality. So we can kind of talk through it. And you can tell me maybe a little bit about you,
okay?
Right? Like where you stand in this scale.
I like
yeah?
it. Okay, I'm
You
down.
Excited?
Yeah, definitely. Go for it.
Okay. The very first factor is, are you more dynamic or more stable and consistent? So a stable and consistent lover, and there's never anything wrong with any of these dynamics, like all of them are right. It's just the right person, right?
Got it.
So a consistent lover loves going back to like what they feel comfortable in, where they can really be their sexual self. Like, you know, you have a favorite position. You always go back to that. You have a favorite way to come. You love having sex in the one place that you feel most comfortable in yourself. A dynamic lover loves change. They love trying different things, new settings, new contexts. And they just love changing around. And it doesn't mean that they can't have sex the same way. It's just that they really like exploring different things. Are you leaning towards consistent or are you leaning towards dynamic?
Ooh, I'm pretty dead in the middle.
Tell us more.
So when I was younger, I think like very, very young. And I think I was more stable, or what was the word? Yeah. Is it stable?
Consistent or dynamic?
Consistent. Because I was very inexperienced. And as I had a couple more lovers who were very dynamic and open to things, taught me a lot. And so I love to be more on the dynamic side. But then there's some certain ways where I really enjoy to orgasm is more on, you know, the other spectrum. So I don't know. Yeah. So yeah. I like to try new things. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you are a little bit consistent more towards dynamic now. And people change all the time too, right?
Okay.
Different phases of life.
Uh-huh. I love that.
The second aspect is, are you more traditional or more kinky? If you're more traditional, it means you enjoy conventional sex, like whatever that's conventional to you. Maybe it's missionary, doggy, maybe it's a little bit of oral sex, but that's pretty much it. If you're kinky, it means you're into non-traditional things, things that are perhaps seemingly unconventional for some people, but you just tend to enjoy trying these different things. What are you leaning towards, traditional or kinky?
Well, when I personally hear kinky, I think of like really kink fetishes, like, you know, BDSM, like, you know, all sorts of stuff, which, you know, I've tried little bits and pieces of things,
right,
which I'm like, okay with. I'm not completely traditional because I definitely have, like, I love to do like, you know, toys and I am actually bisexual. So I enjoy different, you know, fun partners and,
yes,
and enjoy, you know, so there's things that aren't traditional about me, but I'm definitely not a full on kink either.
Right. Yeah. I think the term kinky probably scare up some people sometimes.
Yeah.
Too, especially in like the mainstream culture, because they would think like, oh my God, you have to have like a certain fetish. You have to like love wearing diapers and being brushed by a naked woman, or like, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Or like wear a pig mask while getting fisted.
Let's
Yeah, that's definitely not me.
Right, exactly. But everything's on a spectrum, right? Like, see, leaning kinky could mean like 65% kinky, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, for someone like me, I know I'm leaning kinky because I'm like definitely not traditional, but I'm also not like, you know, pig mask and fist me in the ass girl. So I feel you. I feel what you're saying. The third aspect is, are you more towards monogamous or flexible? Monogamous means sex is only and only for two people in a committed long-term relationship.
Definitely not.
Flexible means that you're open to play with others.
Yeah, I'm definitely not monogamous.
Flexible.
Yeah, flexible.
Okay, so you're a flexible lover. So far, we know that you're more dynamic, a little kinky, and more flexible. The fourth aspect is, are you asked for your sexual expression? Are you more gentle or animalistic? Mm-hmm. Gentle lovers love soft touches, love getting caressed, whispered in the ears, soft massages. Animalistic lovers tend to, you know, go with harder grab or maybe biting, maybe loud moaning. Mm-hmm. So this is just the way you express yourself, like, authentically. Are you more gentle or more animalistic?
Cool. I think kind of in the middle, because sometimes I like soft touches and sometimes it's too soft for me. And sometimes if I'm like really excited, then I'm like, okay, let's, like, you know, have a little roughness. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm not full on, like, I don't like to be bit or anything like that. But like sometimes the hair pull, you know, it just depends on the mood. So I'm kind of in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So that's your sexual profile.
I love that.
Leaning dynamic, leaning kinky, definitely flexible, and then leaning animalistic.
Mm. I love that. So you can take this on your first date. So this is Dr.
Yes.
Scott's profile. Did we match?
I have this quiz on my website. And honestly, I just think it's such an easy way to start a conversation about sex. Like, hey, let's take this quiz. It takes 5 minutes. And then let's talk about our findings. It's just an easy way to start talking about sex.
You know, I think I was having this conversation the other day. And I was like, when I get these questions too that I answer about once a month. And someone sent me a question. And it was like, when do I talk about my sexual preferences? Is it when we decide to be, that we're actually going to just date each other? And then we talk about this. And I'm like, you don't talk about it too soon because you don't want to scare someone away. Like, it's just about sex. So it's very, like, touchy, you know, on when to approach it. And like you said, if you're going to have sex, it's probably like the best time.
Yeah. I honestly think it would be fun just for people to take in general and then put their profile on like Tinder.
That'd be so awesome.
I really want them to buy this from me.
Yes.
Like, come on, you can put on your acronyms, right? DKFA.
Yes.
Like, that's me, DKFA. And then people can see if they're a fan.
Oh my God, genius.
It says a lot. Because, for example, I would not be able to date someone long term who is traditional.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Who is only traditional. Like, I can't do it. And there's nothing wrong with that person. I can't do it because we wouldn't be compatible. And I think it's so important, right? To talk about that.
That's huge. You know, because I'm also struggling with, like, because I'm on dating apps for research. But also because I'm single.
Are you single and mingling?
Yeah, starting to. Yeah.
Okay.
So
on my TV show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd love to. But it's like straight or... it's like gay, or maybe there's even bi on there. And I hate to put bi on there because immediately you get all these guys, right? It's okay for a woman to be bi. That's like, it's just a sexual thing. And if I'm into that, that's fine. But I'm looking for, you know, a fun, hopefully long-term relationship. So that would be so great for, okay, everybody listening, you've Tinder or whoever you want to sell this to. This is like a gold mine. So
yeah.
I love it.
I know. I'm really proud of it. And I also think it's, you know, I look back to my previous relationships, right? Where there were quite a few relationships I was in that lacked sexual compatibility. But back then, I didn't have the language to talk about it. And now that I do, I really want to help people who feel like me before, like I don't have the language to start talking about why I feel like we're not compatible.
Yeah, no, that's huge. So when you talk about sexual communication, you know, that's, like you said, what would you say are interpersonal predictors of sexual communication and satisfaction?
Yes. So when we talk about sexual communication, we talk about two aspects, micro communication and macro communication. The micro communication is the communication right before sex, during sex, after sex. So things like giving feedback, communicating pleasure and displeasure, things like dirty talk, pillow talk, as well as aftercare, right? That's the micro, like the communication that happens in sex.
Okay.
There's that, right? That we have to all learn and know how to do. And also hopefully our partners are great at receiving feedback too. So there's that. But there's also a really challenging other type of sexual communication, that's the macro communication. This is where you and your partner, someone you're dating, talk about sex. So this is in a non-sexual context. Maybe it's over coffee, over dinner, but you're talking about sex and your preferences and your desires and where you see your sexual self going. So that's a whole different conversation that's a lot of people find very challenging also. So to me, there are certain factors of a person that predicts like, oh, this person will find this kind of communication easier. In research, we found people who grew up in an open-minded environment are better at these communication things, right? Like, but to give you guys hope, I did not grow up in an open-minded environment. I grew up in a very sexually conservative environment, and here I am still talking about all these things. So you can totally grow and change and improve. But yeah, we found that people that are extroverted find it easier to talk about sex. People who parents did not shame them for their sexual exploration when they were in, you know, whatever teenage years, tend to find it less anxious to talk about sex. So there's like a couple of profiles, like a couple of types of people who find talking about sex easier. Now, for the rest of us that maybe who are not blessed with all these positive things that had happened regarding our sexuality and still have to overcome all these things, I want you to know that it is very much possible. And there are many different ways that research found to help people build up their sexual confidence to talk about sex. The very first thing is self-knowledge. And Celeste, I bet you know exactly how to have an orgasm for yourself, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell in your face that you're confident about that. A lot of people don't have that. Mm. So I would say self-knowledge is extremely important in building your overall confidence. If you don't even know yourself, you can't give yourself an orgasm. You don't know how to touch your own body. I think, you know, let's start there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that, there's no foundation for you to build on.
That's a huge thing that I think a lot of people talk about too. And, you know, one time I was a really good friend of mine. I hope she's not really listening. I won't name names. But she says she never masturbates or has never masturbated.
Wow.
And married, a couple kids. And I'm like, what? It's so foreign to me. I mean, I started when I was really young. And so I think it's, I don't know if it's more sexual people or I don't know where that comes from, but I thought everybody, for sure, everybody has masturbated, but that's not the case.
Oh my gosh. I would say I share the same shock as you, but because I've done sex coaching now for quite a few years, I learned that it's actually pretty common.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a lot of women have never masturbated. And many of them were now in their, you know, first, second marriage, third marriage, had a couple of kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Missing out big time.
Right? It's like the thing that saved me all these years. So I enjoy it. It's like, it helps me now to the point where I'm like, it helps me relax. It helps me like sometimes sleep. It's like the something that is come over age, definitely. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's very,
it's like
very
a
healthy.
Cup of tea.
It is.
It's like a cup of tea. Like, oh my God, it just relaxes you. Like, and it depends too. It's very dynamic. Like, it depends too, because sometimes if I do it midday, it actually gives me energy.
Mm, true.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. My like afternoon quick masturbation.
Yes.
Can give me energy. But if it's like before sleep, then it helps you relax. I feel like it's very dynamic. It's the best also pain medication. There's research that shows orgasms help, you know, minimize your pain receptors. So like the pain that you have may feel like less painful. Mm-hmm. And that can come from orgasms by yourself or with a partner.
Right, so, right. I've heard that too, what you get a lot of oxytocin released or something.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Masturbate if you're not having sex. I think you should do both. I mean, that's just my opinion, but
yes,
have a healthy sex life.
Yes, for sure.
Well, that's very interesting. So when you just said it's like a cup of tea. So I know that you're in London right now filming a TV show. Is this something you can talk about?
Yes. They just did a press release, I think, 2 weeks ago. So I can definitely talk about it.
Yes. So tell us about it.
Yes. So it's a TV show in the UK and it's called Celebs Go Dating. And this is season 12. So they've already had 11 seasons.
Okay.
And I'm joining them as a new host of this show. They already have amazing hosts, Tom, Anna, and Paul. And so I'm joining them as another host or dating agent. Okay. And the premise is we are at the celebrity dating agency and we matchmake people, particularly celebrities, with single people. So celebrities come see us and we match make them with people who are single that match their preferences.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I love that.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. This is the third week of filming and it's just been like an amazing experience.
Okay, well, we're going to have to tune in and see probably the first 11 episodes first.
Yes, it will. Well, it will come out. It will come out in August and it's a brand new season and it will be like every day. It will be live every day
at
9 p.m. from Monday through Friday for like a month.
In the States, can we see it?
I think so. They have previous seasons on Hulu. So if you guys want to check out the show, it's called the Let's Go Dating and it's on Hulu.
Well, I hope it's better than Patty Stanger's matchmaking where she screams and yells at everybody.
No, what? No, we don't scream at anybody. Oh, no. You know, we do school some of them. But it's really, we just want to help you find your person. We want to help you find love.
Yes, who doesn't love that? That's amazing. Well, I'm so excited for you. That's such an
Thank
honor.
Thank you. I'm really excited to watch it.
You're like, filming's one thing, but to actually watch it's probably even more fun, right?
Exactly.
I think I just have a couple more questions. I don't want to keep you too long. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on. What would you say predicts long-term sexual satisfaction?
Ooh. Okay, I think the number one factor is sexual communication.
Okay.
In order to be sexually satisfied in a long-term relationship, you're going to have to be able to communicate about what you like and what you dislike, like, period. So sexual communication is the number one predictor. But there's also other things about you that you can develop in order to help yourself have a more satisfying sex life in the long run. The first thing is sexual mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And sexual mindfulness means the ability to stay present without judgment and experience all the pleasure in your body. In order to improve your own sexual mindfulness, you have to practice mindfulness from the first place. Do you have a favorite mindfulness practice in general? Yoga or
meditation? I do meditation. I do.
You look like you work out.
I do work out. And that's just for like, actually, it's used to be for body. Now it's for mental. my mental state.
Like, yeah. I would say working out is a huge mindfulness practice.
Yes, working out is definitely has helped me. Taking moments to just kind of write in a journal here and there. And then, yeah, meditation is not as consistent as I'd like it to be, but it's that does seem to help for sure.
Yeah. So all those things are mindfulness practices. So I have a sexual meditation that I do on YouTube.
Ooh.
Sexual meditation is like a regular meditation practice, but it focuses on sexual thoughts, feelings, and sensations. And research have found this to be highly beneficial for improving your sexual mindfulness. So definitely give it a try. Another factor that affects someone's long-term sexual satisfaction is their sexual self-esteem. Ooh. Is how you see yourself sexually. Do you see yourself positively, negatively? Do you find your sexual self worth to be high? You feel like you deserve pleasure and you should get pleasure. You're like, oh, I don't need it all the time, right? So sexual self-esteem is highly important.
Okay. I like that. I think that's very important. And that makes sense too, that all ties into sexual satisfaction.
Yeah.
I would say, what do you find that people are most interested in learning from you? Do you think there's one topic?
Oh, different age group. Okay. Different age group wants to learn different things. I think younger people want to learn the different ways to initiate sex,
okay,
how to talk about sex, and how to become more charismatic, which I think should work for everybody, even if you've been in a relationship for a long time.
True.
But people who have been in a long-term relationship are usually interested in ways to spice things up, but also something that's realistic and easy to do.
What was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
Ooh, I like that question a lot. Let's see. One of my favorite dates was actually the first time that my now husband took me to a botanical garden. And we just spent, you know, 4 or 5 hours, you know, without technology, with just us holding hands, walking around, you know, kissing in different places and just be with each other. And I just thought that was, you know, a very beautiful experience. That's still one of my favorite dates of all time. And we still do them.
Oh, I love that. It's so beautiful. And, you know, it's just like the connection, like you said, checking out without a phone and technology and just being with each other. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I know listeners here are dying to find out more information and maybe read your book, follow you on TikTok. Can you give us a little bit more information where people can find out more information?
You can find everything about me and all the links to my social media on my website, lovebites.co, LUVBITES.CO, lovebites.co.
Awesome. Well, everybody check her out, follow her on Instagram and TikTok and download her quiz, because I think that's huge, especially when you're in the dating world. And
thank you.
Yeah. And again, thank you for being on today's show while you're filming in the UK, like, you know, boss lady here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode, because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.